You're listening to A Little of This and Some of That, a podcast about food, friendship, and family. Hi, I'm Dom Kondo.
And I'm Carl Bussler.
Carl, Happy New Year to you. Welcome back.
Happy New Year, sir.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you. You got your bottle of water there?
I got my bottle of water here, just recovering from the holidays.
And, laryngitis?
Yeah, a little bit of laryngitis. That's what happens when you do a little bit of celebrating, but we're coming back. Wheels are back on the track. Last time we got together, we were doing our pilot episode, and we were spent some time kicking around some ideas, what we're going to do with this show. A lot of exciting things. Really looking forward to doing all kinds of stuff. But one thing that you brought up when we met last time, an idea for a show is resolutions. And I think it's a perfect way to kick off the new year because everybody starts with resolutions. We are not here today to say you have to eat healthy or you have to go to the gym. There's enough people out there that are preaching that, and you know, we have no sponsorship from any healthcare facilities yet for us to, you know, throw them a bone, but down the line we'll see. But I know we were talking before we started this show. You had some really, really good ideas on how we can approach resolutions. Before we get into that, I did mention that a resolution people look at each year is eating healthier. And again, without preaching too much about that, I did hear a really interesting approach on that. I'm a big fan of TV celebrity chef Alton Brown, and his approach to eating healthier is, instead of saying I can't eat this anymore or I have to stop eating this or I have to remove this from my diet, because when you do that, it comes off as sort of a burden. Instead of doing that, a fun and creative way to approach this is, what can I add to my diet? What can I do to make it better? What can I add and bring to it? And by doing this, you review your diet, you review your lifestyle, and you figure out, okay, maybe I need some more oily fish in my diet. I need some more greens, some more vegetables.
More whole grains.
More whole grains, you know, whatever you feel can help you out, whatever your doctor tells you, you know, whatever direction you want to go. A better approach, instead of saying I can't have this, is I should have more of this. And then what happens is you fill up more on the better stuff and you kind of forget about the junky stuff. I thought it was a great approach. And if you're going to start with resolutions, it's a good way to do it without, again, feeling like you're crippling yourself.
Nobody likes losing anything.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to give anything up.
Exactly. So by doing this, you're getting more out of it, and moderation. I've always been a big proponent to moderation.
Right.
So that's a good way to do it. So with that said, we're going to talk about some ideas on food resolutions. And again, this isn't giving up. We decided we're going to take an approach today on how to add to your life, how to add to your food knowledge and your food experiences throughout the year. And you had a really, really interesting approach to this. I want you to tell me a little about it.
All right. The idea is 15 and 15, trying 15 new things in 2015. Because a lot of times we get stuck in our ways. We get into our routines. It's the same old, and the next thing you know, we wake up and the ride is over.
Sure.
So rather than that, I thought we would try 15 new things in 2015. And these could be different categories. So, for example, for me, it might be I'm going to try and these aren't all healthy, by the way. But maybe 15 new beers, 15 new wines, 15 new cheeses. I might want to say maybe we should eat at 15 new restaurants or try 15 new – eat food from 15 different countries. Or try 15 new recipes for pizza. Or 15 new things I want to do on the grill this summer. That's one that I want to do.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know, I got a new grill. I don't want to be the same old hot dog, hamburger, ribs.
Hamburger, I'm seeing 15 different hamburgers coming out of you. Because
yes.
I know we've talked about this before, and you're always on the mission to make the best hamburger.
I want to master one thing every summer. Okay, this is the summer of whatever, you know, the steak. The steak on the grill. I'm going to master the steak on the grill. This year it could be the hamburger. I could 15 different recipes for hamburger.
Love it. See, and this is the perfect approach. This is exactly what I was thinking about when We talked about this in our pilot episode. This is a fun way to approach resolutions. Now, when you mentioned this 15 and 15, I just thought it was great. It's a nice round number.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said on the ride over, it's not like we're doing this in 2042. Could be a bit more of a problem at that point.
I don't know that I'd do it in 2042.
But with that said, I had some ideas from the beginning about food resolutions. And again, these weren't taking away. This was enhancing. And it's not all necessarily healthy food that I had in mind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw some ideas at you. I have a nice
absolutely.
I have a printout here right in front of me of some things I jotted down. When you're talking recipes, okay, now I'm a big fan of print magazine. I don't know if everybody out there knows. By trade, I'm a graphic designer for medical publications. So I love keeping the print magazine world alive. So I have subscriptions to magazines, and I know for people that aren't into that medium anymore, people download recipes on the website, which I do as well. I have a million recipes bookmarked. I have all these pages folded in my cookbooks at home, my magazines. I don't make any of it. So
yeah.
A resolution that I'm setting for myself this year is, and I'm using the number 15 because it's perfect round number, I'm going to make 15, at least 15 different recipes that I found online that I've folded in the magazine. Put these resources to good use.
I know, yeah, that's great.
Pinterest, Facebook, people are always sharing things, and I'm always hearing people talking about, I saw this and I saw that, and I know I'm not the only one that's collecting all of this stuff and not doing anything with it. So this year, that's one of my resolutions for the 15 and 15 is to try at least 15 different recipes.
I think that's great. It's very easy to collect all this stuff now. You know, it's in your iPod, it's in your iPad, it's in, you know, your laptop, whatever. It's, and you never see it again.
Right.
One of my hobbies is photography. Mm-hmm. And I've recently, last year, I made a conscious effort to switch over to film, but also just getting everything printed. You know, because a lot of times you take all these photos and you...
And they just sit there.
And you never see them again. They go in the computer, pff, done. Mm-hmm. You never see them again. So, yeah, 15 things in 15. There's a huge number of ways you could go about it. I mean, I'd be curious to see what other people come up with. We're going to put a little PDF on the post.
Yep.
It's a little sample of, you know, 15 things that you could... Make up your own categories, you know, on one side of the page, there'll be the item, you know. Did you like it? Did you not like it? You can put notes, when you had it, who you had it with. Are you going to do it again? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a good way to track it. It's a good way to revisit and see what you liked, what you didn't like. Maybe you go back and you try it again. It's a resource very similar to Untappd, which we both use.
Right.
Tracking your beers. This is a good way to track your recipes. So we'll have this PDF up there. Be sure to download it, print it out.
Share it with your friends.
Absolutely. And let us know. You can contact us at info@domskitchen.com. Give us a heads up as to what you're planning to do with your food resolutions this year.
I think another one of your resolutions, you have resolved to take more pictures for your blog.
Uh-huh. I have.
I've noticed that new camera of yours is going to good use.
It is. I'm spending a lot of time, and it makes me happy to hear that it's being noticed. I was on there
this morning. I was like, wow, these, and then I'm scrolling through and I'm like, wow, I haven't been there in like 2 weeks, and it's like all these new posts have all these, everything's got a photo now.
It's fun. It adds a whole new dimension to when I'm making something. My kids aren't necessarily happy about it because we make something, and it's like, oh, Daddy's got to take out the camera. We can't eat yet. Got to take a picture. Got to take another picture. But they're getting used to it. And with that said, my wife got me a fantastic book on how to photograph food for food blogs for websites, and I'm putting that to use, and I'm learning a little bit more. And yeah, you're a wealth of knowledge when that subject comes up. So you know, you've been giving me some great ideas, and I'm glad it's being noticed. I appreciate hearing
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Back to the 15, an approach that I take for recreating old dishes is adding a new spice to it, adding a different flavor to it. You can reinvent a recipe, and this is a great thing to do when you're making a dish that you may not necessarily like. Perfect example is Brussels sprouts. Now, when we were growing
up.
Not a fan.
Still not a fan.
Give me a few minutes and maybe I'll change your mind.
You can try.
I'll try. That was the food when we were growing up. It was the kryptonite to kids. you know, little cabbage heads. What do you do with them?
You throw them out.
You throw
you feed them to the dog. These are all things that I've done.
Okay, well, that's, you put them to a use, which a recipe that I make, and believe it or not, my kids have tried it. I have it on my food blog, and I've gotten some comments on it because they're Brussels sprouts. But what I do, it's a very simple recipe, cutting them up, mixing them with equal parts olive oil, balsamic vinegar, and honey, and a little bit of onion powder.
You've got my interest now.
Roasting them. You get a nutty flavor out of them. You're not getting that bland, cabbagey flavor. Brussels sprouts are one of these superfoods, supergroup foods. And this is a way that you can try them. And I've gotten all positive reviews on it. People saying, I hated Brussels sprouts until I've tried this recipe. So, you know, put those bookmarked web pages to good use. See if you can figure out a different way you can make something.
Yeah. You know, no, I think it's a great idea. Mm. You had mentioned spices. And when I was sort of looking through, I was initially just trying to see, well, is 15 and 15 even feasible? Like, and then as I got into it, I was like, wow, there's so many. And spices was one of them. I was going to say, you can try 15 new spices. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, are there really that many spices? Well, and I was blown away. Like, because there's, you know, Indian food has spices I've never even heard of.
Sure.
You know, spices from, you know, Southeast Asia, Thai food, Vietnam, mm-hmm. Vietnamese food. I've never used that, never had any of it. So
yeah, if you go to a spice shop, and they're popping up now, you know, spice shops, lots of places you can order online. There's a few places that I use. There's a whole plethora of things out there. And what's interesting, and this falls back to another suggestion that I had for the 15 and 15, is when you go to a specialty shop, you mentioned a spice shop. It could be a cheese shop. It could be a gourmet coffee shop. When you go to these places, the people that work there, these people are a wealth of knowledge, you know. When I go there, I pick their brains, and they enjoy it. That's why they're there. They're people who study. A lot of times when they work in these specialty shops, they have to know what they're talking about. And you can spend some time there talking to them, getting ideas, and they kind of enjoy that. At least they give me the impression they enjoy it when I do that. So by doing that, you said spices. There's a ton of them out there. Like, I just recently learned that the cinnamon that we eat is not really true cinnamon. It's actually I can't remember the name of it. I'll remember it after this podcast is over. We'll have it up on the link.
We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. But it's actually a spice that is pretty much grown the same way as cinnamon, but it's not actually cinnamon.
Not true cinnamon.
Not true cinnamon. We'll check it out, and it will be in the show notes. But again, you know, take advantage of these specialty shops. If you're having a dinner party and you're looking to serve different cheeses, tell them what you're planning to do. Tell them what wines you're serving, and these guys they'll hook you up with stuff. So, another resolution: take advantage of the specialty shops while they're out there.
Yeah, you mentioned getting together with people right there just a second ago. Mm-hmm. There's 15 things right there. I'm going to host a meal for 15 different people.
It's a good
maybe
number.
Not necessarily at the same time.
Sure. Okay.
You don't have to do like invite like 15 people over, but yeah, maybe it's just you're going to do afternoon tea for somebody, you know, with a friend of yours that you haven't gotten together, and do that throughout the year. You could do one a month. That's 12 right there.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a good opportunity to try a new recipe and
And do what we like to do, which is socialize over food.
Absolutely. I can't think of anything more fun, a better way to spend my afternoon with friends and food. And you're absolutely right. It's an excellent suggestion there. Now, you had mentioned earlier about 15 different wines, which isn't hard to do because wines...
I could probably do that in a month.
Sure. And if I'm hoping I'm with you during that month when we're doing it. What I wanted to mention about that, now this might not necessarily be 15 different things, although it's not that hard to do. When my wife and I go out to dinner, and it's not that often, we have little kids, you have a son, you understand, we tend to go to BYOBs.
Right, yeah.
We like doing that. My wife and I both enjoy wine. We keep a decent amount of it on hand at the house in case anyone comes over. We like to offer a glass. We have a mini wine refrigerator. Nothing crazy, but it's something that you have a refrigerator, you're going to want to keep it stocked. So you know, we purchase a decent amount of wine, meaning we have a budget. And,
right.
You know, you have to keep an eye on it. And we've learned over the years, as I'm sure you can agree with me, you can get a decent bottle of wine for a fairly reasonable price, under $10
sometimes. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. That I go out to wherever I'm going.
Right.
I'm buying $10 or less.
Absolutely.
And you'd be amazed at how many good quality wines you can get for $10 in a bottle. I mean, you don't have to spend $20, $30 or more. I've had wine that was $150 a bottle. Mm-hmm. My palate isn't that sensitive yet. Right. I don't drink enough wine to appreciate that. It was good. Yeah, it was good. But I've also had a $10 bottle of wine.
That did the job.
That did, mm-hmm. made me just happy. You know, so that's my goal, $10.
$10 is a great level to set. I try and stick with that. But I am going to play devil's advocate here with this number 15. Going to a BYO, I look at that as an opportunity to step it up a little bit and purchase maybe a slightly more expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah.
$15 is a good number to start at. You don't have to break the bank, but you can spend a little bit more. And my reasoning behind that is if you're going to a restaurant that's not a BYOB, but you're going to have a few glasses of wine, I can guarantee you...
You'll spend that.
You're going to spend at least $15 to $20 to $25, and it's not going to be anything spectacular. And again, I'm not knocking that. We both said, you know, well, I'm fine with a $10 or less bottle of wine, but you're going to be spending a lot more than that for a couple glasses.
Yeah, you'll spend $8 a glass easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you're going out... to a
and the BYO. Restaurants, sorry to interrupt, but the restaurant's idea of a glass of wine and my idea of a glass of wine are two different things.
Absolutely.
Give me a glass of wine.
Yes, not those little tiny. So there's an opportunity to take care of that number 15. Set $15 for a bottle of wine. It won't break the bank, and I'm not saying you have to do that every time.
Right.
But it's an opportunity to treat yourself a little bit, whether it's a birthday dinner, an anniversary dinner.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Why not?
I like
and,
that.
And it gives you some muscle to flex when you are talking to the high end wine drinkers. You could drop a sort of a hired name, maybe, and
right,
impress
right.
them a little bit. So,
I was gonna do this with beer because I'm a sort of a beer connoisseur.
Sure.
Brewed my own, tried many different kinds of beers, but doing 15 in a year. Like I said, I'll probably do that in a couple months.
Sure.
No problem. So I was thinking maybe I break it up into styles of beers.
Great
15
idea.
Porters, mm-hmm. 15 lagers, 15 pilsners, you know, 15 stouts, 15 ales, maybe lump the IPAs and the pale ales in there.
And this is the perfect opportunity to use our PDF sheet to keep track of that stuff because those are the notes you want to take.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that idea. While we're on the topic of beer, and as we were on wine before, if you're not a beer drinker, and I understand some people are not into it, but I also feel that there is a beer out there for everybody. I'm a firm believer in that. I've tasted enough different things, many of them with you, that there's many different styles. My wife is not a huge beer drinker. She says the carbonation fills her up. Well, you had given us a bottle, I think it was unconditioned. Beer, maybe?
Bottle conditioned,
which doesn't have much carbonation in it, and that was something that this is something good. My mom, who is never a beer drinker, but my mom loves her chocolate.
A
friend of hers, who my mom had just retired, a friend of hers gave her a bottle of a chocolate flavored beer, which is not really my thing, but it opened up my mom's eyes to beer now, and she's having a couple of chocolate beers.
She got to try that sweet baby Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's right up her alley, and she'd be yelling sweet baby Jesus if she had that.
That's a chocolate peanut butter porter.
Yes.
That's like a dessert beer. Yeah.
It is, and that's a direction to go. So
I was never – I was – you know, when I got – I think when I got out of college, I was not a beer drinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I was – my idea of beer was that's, you know, it's light, watered down. I don't like it.
Right.
And I forget how I got on the path of exploring beers. It took a while for me to kind of find what I liked and what I didn't like.
It does take a while. I've been
you know,
down
and
that road myself.
There's different. Like my wife's not a big beer drinker, but we've discovered that she likes hard cider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a brewery that I discovered while I was in New York. I was at a bar called Rattle and Hum, really nice pub in New York, and I tried this Crispin Honey cider. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's a, you know, fermented drink. It's not quite like a beer, but it's not really a wine. It's somewhere in between. You know, it's made with, you know, apples and honey, and but it was really good. So there, you know.
Sounds delicious. I'm getting very thirsty now talking about this.
I wouldn't necessarily jump to the conclusion that I'm not a beer person, because there might be something out there that you like. Like, sure. My wife likes, I don't like Belgian beers. I don't like the cloviness in them. My wife, Chris, that's what she'll drink.
It's a flavor.
That's her safe
preference.
Fallback, so, yeah.
Where I was going with this is, you know, regarding beers, there are so many varieties out there, so many ways you could try stuff. And living in Pennsylvania now, we're finding out we're not handcuffed to buying cases anymore. We can get, you know, smaller samples, which is phenomenal. You know, get together with some friends, bring different bottles. That's a perfect opportunity to taste and see what you like and what you don't like. And even if you don't like any of them, you tried something new.
Right. And if it's just the bottle, and if you don't like it, you're not out much.
Exactly. Another approach to take to that, going back to our wine topic a few minutes ago, see if there's a beer that you can use to replace a glass of wine for a meal. See if you can find a beer that, you know, complements a meal that you're having. Just expand your horizons. And again, you're talking just a bottle. You're not committing to much there. But again, these are all fun, interesting resolution approaches that anybody can try.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of fun with them. Take notes. You go back, you look at it towards the end of the year, and it's something that I'm definitely going to be conscientiously doing this year, is making sure that I'm growing, and I'll be sharing whatever information.
Well, you know what? The next time we do a podcast, we get together, I'm going to ask to see your sheet.
Okay.
You bring it with you.
You got that. I will start taking notes tonight.
I'm looking forward to 15 cheeses. That's...
I tell you what, I've really learned to appreciate cheeses. We have a few good gourmet cheese shops out here that we spoke about before, and actually we're probably going to have an opportunity to sit down with these guys at some point and talk with them and go over.
Yeah, because I'm really curious to know because there's different styles of cheeses. Like, there's Munster and there's Gouda, which I love both of those.
Sure.
But I'm wondering if there are, if it varies from manufacturer or from country to country, like... Who makes the Gouda? Like, are there different kinds of Gouda? Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you a quick story that I had. I saw a sign in a cheese shop advertising. It was a section of Spanish cheeses, and I just wasn't familiar with it. And I asked, I'm not sure what the appropriate name is for the person that works there, but the cheese guy. The cheese guy. I said, can you tell me what Spanish cheese is? And he said, well, that's a very generic question. It's like saying what Italian cheese is. But he quickly pulled me into his world and offered me some things to try. Manchego is a very popular Spanish cheese. It's a lot like a provolone cheese, maybe a little bit more creamy, not quite as much of a bite, but very enjoyable. And he asked what type of cheese I liked, and he directed me to that. And he gives me a piece that was manufactured in the United States that was, I don't know, $12.99 a pound. And then he pulls out a piece that Jose Luis, who lives in Spain, who makes it in his basement, makes it exclusively for
Joe
these people.
Lewis.
Yeah, Joe Lewis. Joe Lewis makes this cheese for them, and it's $25 a pound. And I'll tell you what.
Wow.
You can really taste the difference. And, you know, slice a little thin piece for me. But,
right.
It really opens your eyes and shows that, you know, the love and the dedication that these people put into stuff. You know, craft foods, there's a reason why it's you know, the craft foods, you can appreciate it. It's an art. It's a love behind it. And
I think bread makers are probably in that same category. Like, they kind of have that same devotion to the craft.
Yeah.
You know, the perfect crust, the perfect interior, the perfect moisture, density, you know, aroma.
Yeah.
I love fresh baked bread, and I've tried that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an art. It's you know, it's an art and a science, and I really do appreciate the bread makers. I'd love to do 15 different kinds of new breads that I haven't tried before.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's probably something we can spread out over the year.
Yeah.
We should
definitely. You ever heard of a yeast feast?
I haven't, but I'm curious.
Everything made with yeast, so breads, cheeses, and beer.
What better combination can you
get? Yeah, you just have a bread, a cheese, and a beer, and they're all yeasty concoctions.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Bread is a seasonal thing as well. Aside from your regular breads, you can go to bakeries and you can get Irish soda bread coming up in another month or so. You're going to start seeing that.
Yeah.
The Italians and Italian-Americans make Easter bread, which is a very dry bread that you get it for breakfast and put butter on. And over the years, you can find different breads seasonally. And
yeah.
You know, I think we can revisit that alone down the line somewhere. I think it would be a fun topic.
I'll have to start exercising.
Yeah. So with that.
Yeah, it was a fun conversation. I look forward to starting my list and filling out my list and figuring out what categories I'm going to try to attack this year. I don't know that I'm going to pick more than four, just because I don't know that I'll actually stick to it. But
sure.
Cheeses I definitely want to do. Mm-hmm. Beer I will definitely do. Maybe wine, just because I know those are pretty easy for me to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe something for the grill. That's kind of what I'm looking at.
It's phenomenal. It's a fantastic list.
New things.
I'm looking forward to see what you come up with. Spices is definitely something in my wheelhouse I'm going to be trying. Looking into sharing what I find on the food blog, domskitchen.com. And by all means, any suggestions that the listeners have out there, any questions, anything you want to speak with us about, feel free to contact us at info@domskitchen.com. So with that, we're going to call it a day. We have a lot of great ideas coming up for the next few weeks or so. We don't have anything nailed down specifically yet, but I guarantee you we're going to have some fun and interesting shows, maybe some guests coming in soon, and we'll see where it goes and see maybe if they're listening, if they can give us their some 15 and 15 that they're interested in this year. I think it'll be a fun time.
That'd be great.
So with that, thanks for listening. I'm Dom Kondo.
I'm Carl Bussler.
And this is A Little of This and Some of That.